azan and iqama in the ears, and right in the left ears of the imam. And you know, it's mustahab for us to provide the water of Furat to the baby, and which is also mentioned in this, that Ma'ul Furat is also there, part of this riwayat. And Imam said that this is the Baqiyatullah, and the remain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth, and the Hujjat of Allah after me. It's very important in these riwayat that we always find that the Imams have been introducing over and over again. We have several riwayat when you turn to the history about the birth, about people coming to see the Imam, about people meeting the Imam. Constantly you find that Imam, the previous Imam, has been introducing the next Imam. Constantly in so many riwayat. And this is one part of our aqa'id. It's the job of the ma'soom to introduce the next ma'soom, because ismat is again a malakatun nafsaniya, which cannot be known or seen by our eyes and cannot be recognized by an ordinary person. It has to be informed by the previous imam. And the ibarat which is narrated that was written on the ring of Imam Ridha alayhi salam was ma sha Allahu la quwwata illa billah. That's the ibarat which was written on the ring of Imam alayhi salam. And we find that Sheikh Saduq has narrated that from Ibrahim ibn Abbas that I never saw Imam Ridha alayhi salam ever saying anything bad or wrong towards anybody. Whenever somebody was speaking and talking to him, he never used to interrupt in the middle. He never rejected anybody's hajat. In my life, I never saw that Imam Ridha alayhi salam ever rejected the hajat of anyone. Anyone came and asked something from Imam, and Imam did not do. I never saw that. And also that whenever he's sitting in a gathering, he used to sit in a gathering, he never extended his legs towards anybody in the gathering, which is part of the adab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And also he narrates that Imam never used to put his back on the, like we sit here, we put our back on the wall or on, you know, on a pillow or something when the rest of the people are sitting without leaning on something. Imam never used to lean back on anything while the rest of the people are sitting, you know. He never used to lean on anything, basically. He never used to lean like this. And his laugh was actually a smile, just like the Holy Prophet, that never, the qahqaha is something which is, of course, that we laugh with loud voices, which is condemned. Is not a beautiful, not an appreciated attribute of Islam. Although these are minor details, but that's they all constitute for the moral personality of a person. And so our imams, likewise, it's narrated about Imam Ridha alayhi salam that he never used to laugh. Instead, he used to have tabassum and smile. Whenever the time of at the time of eating food, he used to call all his servants to sit together along with him on the same place and eat along with him. And there are several riwayat I found in the history of Imam Ridha alayhi salam that people complained about this behavior, because this was not something that was done in the society. In the society, even in that society, there were classes. There were people did not like to sit during the food time, to sit with your servants and ghulam and your slaves. But unlike how the people used to do, Imam always used to sit with the ghulam and the servants and on the same place, you know, and eat food along with them. From the beginning hours of the night till the morning, he was always awake throughout his life, and has, you know, a lot of fasting in his daily routines. Every first Thursday of the month, and every last Thursday of the month, and every middle Wednesday. I repeat, every first Thursday of every month, last Thursday of every month, and middle Wednesday of every month, Imam Ridha alayhi salam used to fast. And he used to say, how it's narrated by Sheikh Saduq, that that these three fasts are considered to be equal to like Sawmud Dahr, you know, like fasting the entire life. So if you fast in these 3 days of every month, as if you are fasting the entire month, and you do in the same way on in all the 12 months, so as if you have fasted the entire year for your whole life. So first Thursday and last Thursday and middle Wednesday of every month, Imam Ridha alayhi salam was fasting. And he used to give a lot of sadaqah. Imam Ridha's life has been, in his biography, it has been narrated about his sadaqat, how much he helped the people. A lot of help. And major portion of his sadaqat were in the night. Major portion of the of all the sadaqat that he gave so many sadaqat, and major portions were the one that were given in the night time, and also that's the riwayat of Muammar ibn Khallad. He says that whenever food was being brought in the presence of the Imam, he used to gather the best of the foods from all the different dishes, put it in a bowl, in a plate or something. The best of the foods he used to collect first, before starting to eat. He used to collect the best of the foods and send it to the masakeen, the destitute people in the city. And then he used to recite this ayat of Holy Quran, that فَلَقْتَحَمَ الْعَقَبَةِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْعَقَبَةِ فَكُّ رَقَبَةٍ أَوْ إِطْعَامٌ فِي يَوْمٍ ذِي مَسْغَبَةٍ يَتِيبًا ذَا مَقْرَبَةٍ أَوْ مِسْكِينًا ذَا مَتْرَبَةٍ. Which actually this ayat of Holy Quran is referring to. Aqaba actually is Amrun Sa'ab, how it's narrated in Tafsir by our scholars, that the hard things in our life, and things which are against our wish, against our desires. For anything you can, you know, in our life we can find there are so many things which are easy to do, and we always try to take the easy things for our side and let the hard things to fall on other people's side. This is not considered to be crossing the Aqaba, and you know, Aqaba means doing the hard things which are against your wish, against your desires, in other words. So, itqaf raqaba means setting free a slave, which is a lot of sawab in Islam. In those days, your people had slaves, and their entire business and lifestyle was involved in this kind of situation and this business, and their whole finance was resting on this thing. And Islam is asking to get rid of this problem in the human society. So, and alhamdulillah, Islam got rid of that. So, itqaf raqaba is something which is big, which is something which is against our wishes and desires, but we are supposed to do it if we want to seek the paradise. And likewise, it'am, someone who is unable to set free a slave, at least you can give food to some miskin person. I mean, you cannot say, I cannot give food. I mean, somebody, when, remember when the Prophet was informing the sawab and rewards of giving food in the month of Ramadan, you know, how much sawab Allah will give if you give food to one sa'im person, and somebody said, Ya Rasulullah, what if we don't have food to give? We don't have that much. The Prophet said, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ Valobe Shapta Tamratin. I mean, Tamra means one date. Although you may be, one date or even a piece of the date, it's not hard, it's not expensive for anybody. In that society, everybody can afford one date. It's something which is so easy and cheap. So even Allah, of course, does not need the quantity of our food. What is required is our ikhlas of the niyat. So even by giving one date, for example, if we can keep the fire of the hell away from us, that will work. So if we are unable to do, to set free a slave, like today we are unable to do that, but we can do things which are actually equally important financially, setting free of a slave was in those days. We can do those things today as well, but at least we can also, in addition, we can help and provide food to the miskin people. And those yateem who are, yateem and the matrabah means a yateem who is khak nashin, who is sitting basically on the soil. He has no place to go. He is sitting on the surface, such a poor person. See, all these sawab and rewards that we learn in Islam from kafarat, from ahad, from naqlul yameen, you breach your yameen, your qasam, your ahad, your nazar, your saum, and zihar, and so many things in Islam, all these things return back to the human society. Allah is not going to get any reward or any benefit from these akam or these kafarat or these punishments that he has mentioned for us. It's a human society is the one that benefits from all that. Basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to realize this point, that we who have more than what we need should always be ready to help others who don't have as much as we have. That's the bottom line. So, Imam Ridha alayhi salam used to say that Allah knew that everybody will not be able to set free a slave. So Allah made another way of reaching the paradise, and that is through it'am. That's what Imam Ridha alayhi salam said. Allah made another way for reaching to the paradise, and that is through providing food. You provide food to the miskin people, for example, or those who deserve it. And it's also narrated about Imam Ridha alayhi salam's life history that when he used to do sajda after his fajr prayers, he used to raise his head after the sunrise. Last sajda that he used to perform, he put his head in his sajda and he used to raise the head after the sunrise. And every 3 days of his life, Imam Ridha, it has been narrated in his life history, he used to read Quran, complete full Quran in every 3 days. And when somebody asked him, he said, well, I can complete Quran faster than 3 days, but I do it in 3 days because whenever I read an ayat, I do tafakkur, I think about that ayat. And, when the ayat was revealed and about what it was revealed, and I think about the ayat, so that's why it takes 3 days. Otherwise, I can read it faster. And that's the way which Quran has, we have been commanded to read Quran in that way. That whenever you read an ayat, you know its meaning. It's true that reading in Arabic has much more sawab than reading the translation only, but never read the translation only. Read the Arabic, which is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then try to read its translation so that you understand what's the meaning. And Imam Hassan alayhi salam used to do like this, that whenever he used to read an ayat which said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, he used to say, Labbaik. That means, oh my Lord, here I am, ready to obey you. Now you have commanded in this ayat, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Well, of course, when a mu'min is reading the ayat, so Allah is addressing the mu'mineen. So he is the mukhatab. So when you are the mukhatab, here I am, ready to obey you, ready to follow you. Here I am at your service, in other words. So that's doing the recitation with tafakkur. Every 3 days in the life, Imam Ridha alayhi salam used to complete one Qur'an. And also, there are abundant stories lots and lots of these stories are actually narrated about those 3 years of the life of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. Unfortunately, that's the situation of our communities. I have to say that. I mentioned in the beginning of my speech that the imamat time of Imam Ridha is 20 years. He was sitting on the mansab and position of walayat and imamat and khilafat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 20 years of his life. But most of these narrations are narrated from the people, the community came to him, saw him, talked to him, narrated riwayat from him. When? In the final 3 days of his life, when he was asked by Mamun to come, and then he was made Waliul Ahad by Mamun. Now that he has a big position in the government, now he has an influence, now then the people are coming to ask things from him and asking questions from him. When even the worst of the enemies is doing the same. Is this the behavior where the Mu'min community and Shia community is supposed to do like this? The time when Mamun al-Rashid, who poisoned Imam Ridha alayhi salam, finally, Imam Ridha was killed by the poison of Mamun. The worst enemy of Imam Ridha is doing a behavior that he is inviting him, and then, you know, it happens so many times that he gathered different ulama of different sects of Islam. And because, of course, everybody knew the ilm and fada'il of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, and they knew it. The enemies always throughout history used to turn to Ahlul Bayt in their questions. In some of the narrations, it is narrated that Mamun Rashid made a gathering where he invited 33,000 people. Inviting a gathering in those days of 33,000 people is a huge gathering, just like a million or 2 million people today, maybe. The population was not that much in the world in those days. 33,000 people and scholars and big people of the communities of different sects of Islam. And among those 33,000 scholars and people, he asked questions from Imam Ridha, and Imam Ridha, of course, he presented and he asked from the crowd, which person do you guys suggest to me to make as Waliul Ahad, my heir to the throne? And, you know, the crowd agreed on the personality of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. So, of course, Imam Ridha did not agree. You know, Walayatul Ahad is an issue in our history which has to be understood, because the Ma'soom can never do the bay'at of a Tahut, can never support a Tahut, can never have any oath of allegiance, can never follow, can never obey, can never work under the government, under the supremacy, under the governance, under the rule of a Tahut and Zalim ruler. It's the biggest haram in Islam. And they never did. So basically, Imam Ridha always refused, constantly kept on refusing. He never accepted, unless he was threatened to death. Today, you talk to some people in different communities, maybe you find people saying, well, Imam Ridha used to be in the darbar of Mamun, why cannot we do this and this and this? Well, Imam Ridha was threatened to death. Why don't you tell the whole thing? Don't tell incomplete narration or incomplete situation. This is not correct. When you talk about the seerat of Ahlul Bayt, you must inform the people in the right way, in the right context and siyaq and sabaq, how it all happened. Imam Ridha constantly refused to become the Waliul Ahad. And until he was threatened to death and forced by Mamun al-Rashid that he is going to kill him. And then he accepted with a condition that I will not be a partner in any of the affairs of the government, any affair, any matter of your hukumat, I'm not part of it. And I'm not responsible. And I'm not concerned with, you know, I'm not responsible and I don't want to be involved in any matter of your government. So this is bara'at. That's exactly tabarri. The concept of, in Farsi we say tabarra. In Urdu we say tabarra. In Arabic we say tabarri. That's the concept of tabarri or tabarra in Islam. To disassociate yourself from the taghut fully. And that's exactly how he did. When he was leaving Medina, he had a majlis held in Medina. Because, of course, I mean, he was up, what I mean to say, our scholars say that he was upset, he was not agree, he did not agree from his heart, that's why he was, these are all the signs which we can understand. When he was departing from Medina, he went to Makkah to do the wida. And at Makkah he was crying. Imam Allah alayhi salam was crying. He did not agree for all that. And, you know, so we find that Imam alayhi salam did the wida with the Baytullah and we find that one of the persons, Rayyan ibn Salt. Rayyan ibn Salt is one of the very respectable companions of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. You know, also Khaja Abu Salt, who is buried close to the city of Mashhad. His grave is also there in Mashhad. He is also one of the very respectable companions of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. And Sulaiman al-Ja'fari. Sulaiman al-Ja'fari has so many riwayat narrated from Imam Ridha alayhi salam. So Rayyan ibn Salt is a very very respectable companion. And the point to note that in the history we learned that all of these companions were the poorest people of the community. Rayyan ibn Salt was an extremely poor man. And Sulaiman al-Ja'fari, who narrated so many riwayat from Imam Ridha al-Islam, he was a destitute, he was a miskeen person. He has no money, basically. He was a miskeen. And these people narrated so many riwayat from Imam Ridha, they were the companions of Imam. So Rayyan ibn Salt is a very poor person. He says that he came to see Imam Ridha alayhi salam all the way for the ziyarat of Imam to the city of Marv, which was the capital. I just explained a while ago. So, and after doing the ziyarat of Imam Ridha, this Rayyan ibn Salt, this mu'min, he was returning back to Iraq, his hometown. And he said, when I went to see the wida, the farewell with the Imam, I had in my intention two things. That I will ask Imam alayhi salam to give me one dress of his, one piece of cloth dress that he used to wear, so that I will do my wasiyat that people may bury me in that dress of Imam alayhi salam, put it in my coffin. So I will ask Imam alayhi salam to please give one dress of yours to me. This is the first intention I had. And the second intention, he says that I had, that I would ask some dirham from the Imam, so that I wanted to make some rings for my daughters. He had several daughters. They were all poor person, very, very poor person. So I wanted to make some rings for my daughters. So I had my intention that I will ask some money, some dirham from Imam, so that I will, when I go back to Iraq, I can buy some rings for my daughters. He said, when I came for the wida of the Imam, I was so much crying. And I forgot all what I had in my mind. All which I had in my mind, I forgot, and I left him. As I was leaving him, Imam called me and said, Rayyan, Imam called him and said, don't you like that I give you some dirhams for your daughters so that you can make some rings for them? He did not tell the Imam. I mean, of course, the Imam has the ilm al-ghayb and he knows everything without anybody telling him anything. So that's what the Imam of the time is. He is the mazhar of all this. That's why we keep on repeating this statement. Since Allah is alimun bi dhati sudur, so Imam is also the mazhar of alimun bi dhati sudur. He knows all what the people have in their hearts. So, he says that Imam said to me that, don't you want me to give you a piece of cloth? You know? And I said, yes, Ibn Rasulullah, I actually forgot. I had in my mind to ask you, but I forgot all those things. And Imam gave me a piece of his cloth and some money to make, those rings for the daughters. He said, I counted it, were 30 dirhams that Imam gave me. It was a big money for him. And the money was, the money in the society is limited. The society, the human society has a limited chunk of money. You don't have unlimited resources in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's resources are unlimited. إِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُهُ وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدْرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. Every single thing, we have its treasures with us. And we provide it, we bring it according to a known miqdar. That's the qawa and qadr and maslahat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But every single thing, he has khaza'in of that. He has treasures of everything with him. Unlimited treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have, the human beings, our treasures are limited. No matter we have billions of dollars, but they will be also limited. It's because of the money. That's one of the major reasons that people have been disobeying the imams. You know, Ali ibn Hamza was a Shia. He was not a Sunni. Ali ibn Hamza al-Bata'ini. And he was a wakil of Imam al-Qadhim alayhi salam. Today we have wukara of Maraji. We have this wakil is Amin and this wakil is Kha'in. This is Adil and this is Fasiq. That was the same. Human beings are the same humans. The same situations were there in the time of the Imams. Ali ibn Hamza al-Bata'ini was the wakil for collecting the Islamic, you know, rukum and this money from behalf of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, and he had a lot of money. And when Imam Ridha passed away, he became shaheed. What happens is that when your muwakkil dies, wakalat in our fiqh automatically becomes batil unless you regain your wakalat again. Just the law of the sharia, of the fiqh. The same is today. If you have wakalat from Mujtahid A, and Mujtahid A passes away, your wakalat automatically becomes batil with the death of the Mujtahid, death of the Muwakkil. Now you have to regain, in order to keep this money of khums in your hand, you have to regain the wakalat from the Mujtahid B, who is Jam'u al-Shara'it, who fulfills all the conditions defined in the hadith of Imam Askari alayhi salam. So somebody who fulfills the conditions, that mujtahid, you have to gain ijazat, get ijazat from new Jami'u Shara'it mujtahid in order to keep this khums money after the wakalat became batil because of the death of the mujtahid. So that's why, that same was the rule there. So Imam Qadhim passed away and Ali ibn Hamza was supposed to give all the khums money to Imam Ridha alayhi salam. So he did not give. He didn't want to give that much huge money. I don't know exactly how much it was. I think it was 150,000 dinars or something. Huge money. I cannot say exactly. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what came in my mind. It was something close to that. Maybe it's not the exact figure, but a huge money. And he did not give. So basically, it's the love of money that can drag us how far. He was a Shia. And now we find that... Sheikh Tusi rahmatullah alayh it has been narrated that Imam Ridha alayhi salam said to one of his companions that right now Ali ibn Hamza has passed away. Ali ibn Hamza is living somewhere else now. He did not give the money of Khums to Imam Ridha. No, he is living with the money somewhere else. And Imam Ridha said to one of his ashab that right now Ali ibn Hamza passed away. And he was laid into the grave, and the malaika, the angels of Allah, came into his grave and asked him, who is your Lord? Who is your Rabb? And he said, Allah. And then the angel asked him, who is your Rasul? And he said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, who is your Imam after him? Who is your Wali? And he said, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. And then the angel continued, who is the Imam after him? Who is the Imam after him? Until he reached Imam Kadhim alayhi salam. And he said the name of Imam Kadhim alayhi salam correctly. And then the angel asked him, who is the Imam after him? And he cannot reply. He didn't know? No, he knew it. But again, that's what we constantly talk about in so many speeches. I have mentioned this point, that when we enter into, we get transferred from this material world into Alamul Malakut, that's a different world with a different rules applying there. So you cannot lie, even if you wish, you cannot lie. It's not this dunya that we are able to lie if we want, and if we don't want, we will tell the truth. No. It's not left up to our wish. We don't have the freedom in that world. Freedom lies in Alamut Tashri only, where the Shariat is applying. The Shariat does not apply there. We are not supposed to, we have no takleef, no duty from Allah. The people lying in the graves have no takleef and duty from Allah to do, to pray or fast or hajj or anything. It's not in Alamut Tashri. They are not in Alamut Takleef. So when you step out of Alamut Takleef, you don't have no freedom. Just like animals. Animals are bound to obey Allah. Can they disobey? Just like the plants. They are in the sajda. Every plant is doing the sajda of Allah. Can they disobey? They don't have the freedom because they are not in Alamut Tashri. Because Shariat and Takaleef are not applying on them. They are not obliged to do anything out of the Sharia. When the Shariat is not applying, you will have no hurriyat and freedom. So here, you cannot lie. Even if you wish, you cannot. You cannot even wish. So that's Alamul Malakut. It's the word of Haqq. So he cannot lie because Amalan he did not give the khums to Imam Ridha alayhi salam. And remember what Imam Ali has said in the Balagha, that bis salihate bil iman yustadallu ala salihat wa bis salihate tustadallu ala al iman. If you want to understand about the iman and aqeedah and iman and faith of a person, look at his good deeds. Through the good deeds you will understand his iman, not through his tongue. If you want to understand the good deeds of a person, look at his iman. So these two are interconnected with each other. Iman will force you to do good deeds, and good deeds are a sign of having iman. So when you are usurping the khums money, you lose the iman. And when you lose the iman, you cannot say in front of the angel, well, I believe the Imam after Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam is Ali ibn Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam. He cannot say. And when he did not say, the angel repeated the question 3 times, how it's in the hadith of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. Angel repeated 3 times. And after the 3rd time, when Ali ibn Hamza cannot reply, he hit him with, a pillar of hellfire. And till the day of judgment, Imam Ridha said his grave would be full of fire. So as Imam alayhi salam, so it's not just important that we believe in one Imam and 2 Imam and 3 Imam, and even disobedience towards one of the 12 is disobedience towards all. So when Imam was passing by, and we have talked about this hadith several times, but I want to inform you another point about this narration, the hadith of Silsilatul Zahab that we always talk about, and we should actually repeat these things again because of its importance. It's narrated in Kashful Ghimma fi Ma'rifatil A'imma, that عرض له في السوق الإمامان الحافظان للأحاديث النبوية أبو زرعة ومحمد بن أسلم. Abu Zar'a and Muhammad ibn Aslam are two very big scholars of the Sunni brothers, and they are actually big, the very well recognized scholars even today. So they were hafiz of lots and lots of ahadith of the Prophet, and they met in the marketplace. They met with Imam Ridha alayhi salam as he was riding his mule, and he reached the city of Nishapur of Iran when he was taken by Mamun Rashid. And these two scholars, along with so many people who were standing there to greet the Imam, they said to Imam, Ayyuha Sayyid Ibn Sada, Ayyuha Imam Ibn Al-A'imma, Ayyuha Sulalatu Tahira Ar-Radiyya, Ayyuha Al-Khulasatu Zakiya, Bihaqq Aba'ika Al-Tahirin Wa Aslabika Al-Akramin, إلا أريتنا وجهك المبارك الميمون ورويت لنا حديثا عن آبائك عن جدك نذكرك به. That for the sake of your grandfathers who were Tahir and most respectable, if you can please show us your face and narrate one hadith from your ancestors, from your, from the Holy Prophet, so that we can remember. And that was the time that Imam alayhi salam fastawqafa al-baghla wa rafa al-mudhilla wa aqarra uyun al-muslimin bi tal'atihi. And he said, so that was the time when Imam took out his head, and there used to be an umbrella kind of thing on that animal, when you are traveling. So an Imam said this statement, the hadith of Silsilatul Zahab you have already known and I have already told so many times, which is also good to learn again, but that's not the point which I'm telling you. The point I'm telling you right now is that Imam alayhi salam said to the crowd there, Ma'ashir al-Nas, Isma'u wa'u. Wala tu'udhu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi fi itratihi wa ansitu. Before he said the hadith, he said this statement first. And then later on he said, Kalimatullah ilaha illallah, Hisni, man qala dakhala hisni wa man dakhala hisni amina min azabi. The kalima of la ilaha illallah, Allah said, I heard from my father, he heard from his father, so on, from Rasulullah, from Amir al-Mu'mineen, he heard from Rasulullah, and Rasulullah heard from Jibreel heard from Allah, that the kalima of la ilaha illallah is my fort. Whosoever enters my fort, whosoever says it, enters my fort. And whosoever enters my fort, he got secure from my azab. بِشَرْتِهَا وَشُرُوتِهَا وَأَنَا مِنْ شُرُوتِهَا. So before all that, Imam Ridha alayhi salam said to the crowd, the point I was trying to say was this, that مَعَاشِرَ النَّاسِ اِسْمَعُوا وَعُوا. Listen and you would get the wa'i and basirat about the religion. If you pay attention to what the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt have said, this is how you gain the in-depth information about Islam, how and what you are supposed to do and what you are supposed to behave. وَلَا تُوذُوا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ فِي عِتْرَتِهِ. And don't tease Rasulullah regarding his itrat. وَأَنْسِتُوا. And pay attention. It seems to be a very simple thing. I mean, the crowd who is 8,000 people, some narrations say 10,000 people, standing there with qalam, with a pen, and something to write. And among them were two great scholars, Abu Zar'a and Muhammad ibn Aslam. And Imam is saying that, don't tease Rasulullah. Don't annoy him. Well, the people are praying, the people are fasting, The people go for a Hajj, they give zakat, they do all the Islamic taxes. What kind of teasing is there? I mean, you go to different communities today, in which masjid you will find where people are not praying? Every masjid people are praying. Every masjid you find people of the community, they are fasting, they go for Hajj. From every masjid they go for Hajj. Is this the entire Islam? If that is the entire Islam, then why is Imam Rida alayhi salam saying to the people, don't annoy Rasulullah about his itrat, about his Ahlul Bayt, about his family? And that's the similar kind of thing, not exactly similar, but very much quite mushabih to that, what we see that Imam Hussain alayhi salam said on the day of Ashura to the Ashqiyah. It's the seerat of Ahlul Bayt and the Prophet, sunnat of the Prophet. They used to do nasihat before the war. Imam Hussain alayhi salam said to the Ashqiya that, listen to me. And they did not listen. And then he said, وَيْلَكُمْ مَا عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تُنْسِتُوا إِلَيَّ وَتَسْمَعُوا قَوْلِي وَأَنَا أَدْعُوكُمْ إِلَى سَبِيلِ الرَّشَادِ. What happened to you? I am inviting you people towards the path of guidance, and you are not even paying attention to me. Were they not praying? My question again, let me repeat my question. Were the people, the army of Umar ibn Sa'd and his followers, la'natullah alayhim ajma'in, were they not praying? Umar ibn Sa'd was Imam al-Jama'ah. He was leading the Salat of Dhuhr there. They were not Tariq al-Salat. And when we find in the life history of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, when Kumait rahmatullah alayhi, a very famous sha'ir of Ahlul Bayt, Kumait said his famous qasida al-mimiyya. Shu'ara of Ahlul Bayt, they used to come and say qasa'id, qasida, in the madh of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and they used to listen and they used to pay respect to these shu'ara and their good efforts. This is an amal-e salih. Saying shi'r in the madh of Ahlul Bayt is a big thawab in Islam. So Kumait came and recited his qasida al-mimiyya. We call it qasida mimiyya because at the end of every misra there is meme. At the end of every, you know, it's a the radif. We call it radif, and the radif is meme. So all the end of every misra is meme. So we call it qasida al-mimiyya of Kumait. So when he was done with his whole qasida, he recited in front of Imam Baqir alayhi salam, and he came to this shi'r where he was talking about the same incident which I just mentioned to you about Imam Hussain's nasihat to the crowd, to the ashqiya. And Kumait in his qasida al-mimiyya mentioned the same incident of Imam Hussain, how evil those people were, that they are not ready to even listen to the Imam. Although they are praying and fasting and all the things they were doing. So he said, وَقَتِيلٌ بِالطَّفِّ غُودِرَ فِيهِمْ مِنْهُمْ بَيْنَ غَوْغَاءِ أُمَّةٍ وَتَغَامِ. That, talking about that qatil, Imam Hussain alayhi salam is the qatil, is the shaheed, بِالطَّفِّ in Karbala, in the Maidan of Karbala, who was subjected to that bala and, you know, test there, among those lowly and low-class people who are making noise but not ready to listen to what the Imam is saying. So when Kumait recited this qasida and he reached this shi'r, Imam Baqir alayhi salam cried. And he said to Kumait that, I don't have money to give any reward to you. I don't have no money to pay you any reward for this. But I will say you one hadith of Rasulullah. I will inform you one hadith, one statement of Rasulullah. What Rasulullah said to Hassan ibn Thabit. Hassan ibn Thabit is another sha'ir who said his qasida for Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam at the occasion of Ghadir-e-Khum. when the Prophet gave his khutbah and announced, Man kuntu mawlahu fahada aliyun mawla, and all that, Allahumma wali man malahu adam man adahu wansur man nasara waqbul man khadara wa adr al haqqa ma'ahu haythu dar. After that, faqama Hassan. At that spot, Hassan ibn Thabit was in the crowd. He stood up and said, I'adhan li ya Rasulullah an aqula fi aliyin abiyatan tasma'uhunna. Give me permission, O Rasulullah, so that I can say some abiyat, some shi'r about Ali alayhi salam, you know, that you would listen. And Prophet said, قُلْ عَلَى بَرَكَةِ اللَّهِ, you know, say on the barakat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's where Hassan started his qasida for the madh of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And Prophet listened. And Prophet said, after he was done with the qasida, Hassan ibn Thabit, Prophet said to him, that, and that's the statement which Imam Baqir is saying to Kumait here when he said this qasida, al-Mimiyya. And Prophet said to Hassan ibn Thabit that La zilta mu'ayyidan bi ruhi al-Qudus ma zababta anna ahl al-Bayt. As long as you will continue to defend us ahl al-Bayt, as long as you continue to defend the walayat of ahl al-Bayt alayhi salam, you will continue, Allah will continue to defend you, to support you through the Ruhul Qudus. And we all know Ruhul Qudus is A'zamul Malaika. And we have two tafsir in the, about the Ruhul Qudus, you know, Ayyadnahu bi Ruhul Qudus. Allah says about Prophet Isa, we did his ta'yid through Ruhul Qudus. Our Mufassirin say there are two tafsir. Some say Ruhul Qudus is Jibreel. Some say no, it's another angel of Allah who is A'zam, he is greater than Jibreel. And this angel never returned back to the heaven. Since he is created, he is sent here. Since the time he was sent here on earth, he never returned back. He is a different angel, some say in another statement. And his job is to support the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt and those who support the walayat of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. That's the job of this angel. It's a custom-built job given, assigned to this angel. So Prophet said to Hassan, Hassan did what? Hassan defended the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen in the presence of 120,000 ashab. It's a jihad. It's a big jihad. And here Kumait defended the walayat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in front of Imam Baqir alayhi salam. And the rest of the Ahlul Bayt as well. And likewise, so basically, as long as we continue, and that's the same point which Imam is mentioning in the hadith of Silsilatul Zahab, you know, كَلِمَةُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ حِسْنِي مَنْ دَخَلَ حِسْنِي مَنْ قَالَ دَخَلَ حِسْنِي وَمَنْ دَخَلَ حِسْنِي أَمِنَ مِنْ عَذَابِي. Whosoever entered into my fort, he got secure from my azab. And then, بِشَرْتِهَا وَشُرُوتِهَا وَأَنَا مِنْ شُرُوتِهَا. That means me, I am among the conditions of that kalima of La ilaha illallah, which is unacceptable without the walayat of the Imam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.